Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields. Welcome to Food for the Journey, and welcome to the readings for Tuesday of the second week of Easter. Not after, of Easter. Learn how to celebrate. Learn how to really thank Him this day for what He did for you on the cross. Thank Him for His mercy for you. Do it every hour of the day if you can. This is the Easter season. It's Tuesday of the second week of Easter, not after Easter, of Easter. Today is also the feast of St. Mark, and I want to read from Magnificat what it says about this feast of St. Mark. The fathers of the church held that Mark the evangelist was a co-worker of Peter and Paul. If you look at 1 Peter chapter 5 and Colossians 4, you can find that he was a co-worker of Peter and Paul. Since antiquity, Mark has been associated with the lion, one of the four creatures who worship the Lamb. Look at Revelation 5. Mark opens his gospel with the figure of John the Baptist, the voice crying out in the wilderness, recalling the roar of the desert beast. Since the removal of Mark's relics from Alexandria, Egypt, the supposed site of his martyrdom, his relics were moved to Venice, Italy in 828. Brothers and sisters, we have some proof that these people really lived, and I know they did, but tangible proof. His relics were moved in 828, and the winged lion with its paw outstretched on the book of the Gospels has represented Mark's patronage of the city. Mark became their saint, the saint in that city, to Venice, Italy, and there he is proclaimed. There they venerate him. Brothers and sisters, I just share that because what we're experiencing when we read these passages are not people who just lived a long time ago and died a long time ago. By the power of the Holy Spirit, because of their response to God, because of their willingness to put aside all else and follow Him, they are living in heaven, and we're going to see them one day. We're going to see them. We're going to relate to that. So this is a time to get to know your brothers and sisters who went before you, who paved the way, who laid down their lives, that you might have the faith you have today. And we in turn need to keep in mind the generation that will follow us. Are we making a way for them in our own lives? Are we helping it to be possible for them to follow Jesus Christ? First reading is taken from the letter of St. Peter, chapter 5, verses 5 to 14. Beloved, clothe yourselves with humility in your dealings with one another, for God opposes the proud but bestows favor on the humble. So humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Humble yourself. Admit your sin. Bow down before Him. Tell him even apart from your sin, tell Him, you're Lord, I'm not. You're the Master and I am the disciple. You are the Savior and I am the one who needs saved. That's humility. Admitting what the truth is. So humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time. Cast all your worries upon Him because He cares for you. Be sober and vigilant. Your opponent, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, steadfast in faith, knowing that your brothers and sisters throughout the world undergo the same sufferings. The God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory through Christ Jesus, will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you after you have suffered a little. We're going to have eternal glory, brothers and sisters, after we have suffered a little. It's a little in light of eternity. So lift up your head. Lift up your hands in prayer. Turn to Him. Lay your life before Him. Tell Him you believe in Him. And if you don't believe in Him, ask for the gift of faith. Just say, Lord, if you want to help me, please give me the gift of faith. And just keep praying that, and God will hear you. It says here, Christ Jesus will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you after you have suffered a little. To Him be dominion forever. Amen. I write you this briefly through Silvanus, whom I consider a faithful brother, exhorting you and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Remain firm in it. What I'm just declaring to you here is true. And grace is God giving Himself to you. Remember that. This is the true grace of God. Remain firm in it. The chosen one in Babylon sends you greeting, as does Mark, my son. Greet one another with a loving kiss. Peace to all of you who are in Christ. Peace to all of you who are in Christ. Psalm 89, forever I will sing the goodness of the Lord. God has gone before us. He sent His disciples before us. We've been given all kinds of help for thousands of years. If we read, if we pay attention, if we pray, it's here for us, brothers and sisters, to lead us safely home. It's, how many times have I said this? It's not a fairy tale. It's a greater reality above all realities. Because it has everlasting life in it. Put your trust in Him. What He has prepared for you, Scripture tells us, no eye has seen, no ear has heard. It hasn't even entered into the heart of man to conceive what God has prepared for those who love Him. Think about that. No matter how grand our ideas are of what heaven might be like, it has not even entered into our heart to conceive it. It's so great. So open your heart to what God wants to do in you right now, that you might draw closer to Him and be more and more His disciple. And the gospel is from the Gospel of Mark. It's appropriate on his feast day. The Gospel of Mark, Chapter 16, verses 15 to 20. Jesus appeared to the 11 and said to them, go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak new languages. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Look at that. This is how God wants to work through us. But our faith needs to grow, both to believe that God wants to use us, and then secondly, to see whatever gifts He gives us as gifts. They're not mine. I'm not the origin of them. I can use them for His purposes, His honor, but I can't take them to myself. If I'm ready to be a servant and a disciple of Jesus Christ, tell Him so. We're never actually ready, but if we think, yes, this is what I should do, and I hope you do, because it's the call for every baptized Christian. But we have to personally assent to it. And God will use us. Then the Lord Jesus, after He spoke to them, was taken up into heaven and took His seat at the right hand of God. But they went forth and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word through accompanying signs. I often think about when Jesus ascended into heaven, and we'll celebrate that feast a little later. But when they ascended, when Jesus ascended into heaven, and it says that in many of the writings that they went away rejoicing, and I'm sure that they did in a certain sense, and yet I'm also aware that as human beings, they would have missed him. Oh, stay with us, stay with us. And he was gone. Not away from them, but gone from their sight. And they had to make some decisions then, I'm sure. Were they really going to continue to follow him? Or had he abandoned us? Or was this a dream? But it says, they went forth and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word through accompanying signs. Do you not think God walks with us right now? God works with us right now in your family, your business, your parish, among your friends. God works with you. And as we seek to build his kingdom by mercy, compassion, kindness, speaking the truth where appropriate, ministering to people, caring for the poor. We can't do everything, but we can do one of those things and do it well. We really can if we set our hearts to it. And then the Lord works with us and he confirms the truth of what is said. He confirms the gospel through accompanying signs. No, I haven't seen any great miracles through me, no. But I have seen hearts and souls change, which is, one of the most miraculous things I could ever see, is to watch God at work. He takes my words and he infuses them with himself, and they bring life to people. I can't do that. But I can open my mouth and I can speak the truth, and so can you. In your own way, with your set of gifts, with your background, with your experience, you can tell people about Jesus, and it opens their hearts. And then Jesus comes with his grace and changes people. I don't change people, you don't change people, but God does. And he uses our work, he uses our words, he uses our talents and abilities to reveal himself to those who sometimes are stumbling in the darkness. So I really urge you, brothers and sisters, as we celebrate this great Easter season, and really celebrate it, because you're not celebrating a past event, you're celebrating a present reality. Jesus Christ is risen. It's always in the present tense. He is risen from the dead. The power of his resurrection is present now for all of us. Let us enter in with him and seek his will, and may we carry it out with great joy. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, dial 1-800-282-4789. You can also go to my website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. There you can get the free copy of my booklet, and you can also order a CD, From Death to Life, The Fruit of Suffering in Our Lives. May God bless you.